I told them in my class this morning, when that choir cranks up and gets started, that just does something for me that nothing else can. And I just thank God for every one of you that are in the choir. It can sing and can play instruments and things. And I try to remember you every day in prayer to lift you up to God. And you just bless me to death whenever you start singing.
Amen. Anyone else? Testimony of word. Like Brother Randy said, we don't have a schedule, except it would be the Lord's schedule, and that's all that really matters. I want to speak to us tonight concerning something that every one of us surely is interested in, and that would be getting our prayers answered. We have needs. Every one of us has needs. We have relatives, every one of us, and friends that's not saved, not following the Lord. We also, no doubt, have people that once said they were saved and something caused them to turn back. I'm not saying they are or aren't, but they're not following the Lord. And then, of course, the storms come, not only the physical storms, but satanic storms. All things happen in their life, and we need, above everything else, to have the confidence to know that God hears and will answer our prayers. So that's one that we'll be speaking to you in that. Praying with confidence. In John chapter 14, we'll read a couple of verses, then we'll be going to John chapter 9. Let's look at these illustrations. If I know, the Bible tells me that he's going to hear me, if I'll do a certain thing, then I know that. And then John chapter 14, he tells us specifically in verse 13, John 14 and 13. Praying prayers that you know God will hear and God will regard. That's what we want to do in that. And John 14, 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And a lot of people have tried to make that a blanket deal. I'll just ask God for anything, and he said he'd do it. No, no, no. Let's go back and look at the first verse. The first verse tells us the characteristics of that. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If we pray prayers, and that's one good thing to know. You pray prayers, I pray prayers, and sometimes we all qualify those prayers according to the Word of God, and will that prayer we're praying bring glory to God through His Son, Jesus Christ? No wonder He told us sometimes we don't get our prayers answered because we consume it upon our own lust, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. But if we pray those prayers, if God should answer it, and He said He would, if the end result would be that He alone gets the glory and none ourselves. No flesh shall glory in God's sight. So our prayer should be, God, get me out of the way and just glorify your name. If you want to use me, that's fine. I don't want any glory out of the thing that I'm praying for. It's your glory. Lost souls. We don't pray for lost souls that we, oh, I was one to lead five people, we're thankful for that. We don't get glory in it. Only God should get the glory. Now let's embark upon a particular scope tonight, and that will be in John chapter 9, verses 1, and we'll be going several verses here. Let's look at some principles taught as Jesus is passing by. Jesus is passing by. And this particular day, He was passing by, and He saw some things. And the Lord today is on His throne. He knows we're here. He knows every prayer request we have, every burden we have. He knows all that. And let's take note in these particular verses that we're going to read and look at the principles that He is teaching us, the precepts that He is teaching us as He is passing by. And as Jesus passed by, John chapter 9, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And this disciple asked him, saying, Master, who had sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Verse 1 helps us understand the principle that he does see. As he was passing by, he didn't miss anything. And as the Lord is looking upon your life and mine, he sees why we're here. We sang that beautiful song. We have gathered in his name, and we've come to worship him, and we don't want our flesh to interfere with that or anything else. He sees that. Not only does he see our person, he sees our desires. He sees our needs. He sees whether or not we have truly come to worship him so he can get the glory. And, of course, along the journey, we know as he sees us, he does see our needs. And if we ask the petition of him to fulfill that need and that desire, and he will get the glory, then he's going to take care of that. So first thing we see, he sees. But the next thing we see, he seeks. He said, I must needs go that way. Look what he says. Neither this man has sinned nor his parents, that the works of God should be made manifest. He saw that, and he was going to do something that the Father was going to get the glory for it. And he seeks that opportunity. In your life and mine, sometimes, now we say, that man didn't sin. Jesus said that, nor his parents sinned. Yet he was born, and he was blind. And God realized that. And we don't know all the reasons, but we do know this reason. He came and he saw it, and he was seeking an opportunity to give his Father the glory, and he knew that that man would be there. He knew he'd be there before he was ever born. He knows everything about you and me. And in seeing and in seeking, he's going to get glory out of things that happen in their life. The obstacles we have, the roads we travel, the pathways ahead of us, maybe they were ordered. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We read over that sometimes and don't think much about it. It's a true statement. He orders our steps. And along the journey, he is seeing and he is seeking an opportunity in your life and mine to work out something to give himself glory. Maybe to do a healing or create something, an opportunity so we can witness to someone else. So we see so far he is seeing and he is seeking. But look at verse 4. He also says, I was sent. Verse 4 says, I must work the works of him that sent me. The Lord sent him on the journey from heaven down to earth. His destination was a cross to die for your sins and mine. Third day he was going to be raised. He was going to walk the earth, and then he was going back to heaven. He was going to be seated by the right side of the Father. And the Father made sure that since he sent him, everything that he was going to do would bring God glory. And he said at the end of the journey down here on this earth, he said, I've done everything that God told me to do. Haven't missed a thing. I have worked the works that God sent me to do. If you and I in our life, I know we're not perfect, but if we would seek him and say, Lord, you sent me down here for a reason. It's not just to have a good life and have a good time and enjoy all the things we enjoy. That's part of it. But the real reason he sent us into this world was to bring glory to him, honor and glory. And he sees us, he sends us along the journey, and he is right there beside us, watching us, seeking a way that we can get glory and give glory to his name by doing a miraculous deed. He's going to do a miracle here. He is a God of miracles. And he still does miracles when and only when he gets all of the glory. We keep reading. We've seen so far a seer and the seeker. But then in verse 6 we say, oh, he speaks. Listen to what he said. When he had thus spoken, he spit on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of a blind man with the clay. said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. He saw the blind man. Wasn't a mystery. He knew he'd be there. And so he spoke to him. And then the words he said are so meaningful. That blind person was able to hear and able to know what God wanted him to do. So he spit on the ground and he made spittle. And the Bible says in verse 7, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He speaks to him and he sends him on a journey. The pool of Siloam is the virgin springs. It's a spring in Jerusalem. And it just sometimes gushes out. It will run at a constant rate, and then all of a sudden it will just gush out. I've told you before about my experience going there, and the Lord had me, after everybody was gone, the Lord said, just stick your finger in the water and anoint your eyes with that water. And the thought occurred to me just for a second. Can you imagine all the germs, sewage, everything running there? Nobody drinks that water anymore because of all the filth. But I didn't let that entertain me. I anointed my eyes, he said, so you can see. Because, see, that fountain, the Gihon Spring, is called the Virgin Spring. It represents Christ Jesus. So he is sending him, and look what he says. He is going to send him, in verse 7, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. So the water that went into that pool came from the Gihon Springs, and that's where the Lord sent me to. And take your finger and dip it in water and anoint your lips and your tongue so you can speak for me. And I did that quickly also. So when he was sent him to the pool of Siloam, it's a fountain, but the water is generated by the Gihon Springs, which is a virgin fountain. And then notice what the text says. He sent him, and parentheses, he sent him his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing, which is by interpretation sent. So, in essence, it's a type of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. So he was sending him to himself. What other way to be healed except through Christ Jesus? The man heard. He was sent. And he went exactly and done what God told him to do. But I'm interested now, these principles that he is teaching us, to see if there is going to be an answer and going to be in resolution. The man's blind. He can't see. Of course, he could have spoken the words, and he did before in other places, and the man immediately sinned. But he shows us something here. He wants your obedience. He wants my obedience. God always answers prayers if those prayers will bring him glory. And if we do exactly what he tells us we ought to do. If a man had said, no, I won't go to the pool of Siloam. I know from whence the water comes. I'll just go down to the spring, and it's the same water source, and there I'll wash. There I'll say, no, you have to do it exactly the way he told us to do it. And that's the reason a lot of us don't get our prayers answered. We know what he wants. He wants us to stay to show ourselves approved. He wants us to have a heart of love, forgiveness for every man, no matter what. And the sole purpose of our existence should be to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that. And if we fail to do that, then those prayers we pray aren't meeting the conditions by which they will all be answered. And we have to pray with confidence. You know as well as I do that sometimes you have a need in your life and you start praying and you know God could do it, but you have hesitation whether or not he will based upon the fact that you haven't been completely willing to do exactly what he said. You can't have confidence in that prayer life then, can you? And that's where a lot of us are. You say, I'm an expert at this because that's the way I am also. Something he has told me to do. And then usually it's nothing major that I haven't done. I try to do all those major things. It's just the little things. Spend more time in prayer. Spend more time in reading. Just the little things I know to do. So then when I have a prayer, some real drastic need in my life or somebody else's, and I pray, And then in the back of my mind, sometimes there's not the extreme confidence that I should have. And the reason every time is it will not bring glory to his name if he should do it, or it will be something I'll consume upon my lust of my own flesh, or I don't have the confidence that he will do it because I haven't done all he told me to do. Those three things will hinder your prayer life. And if you're a child of God, you know when you're praying, you just don't have the extreme confidence, whether it's a sick child, whatever the need is, there's something in the back of your mind that it doesn't fit the pattern that God told me that to fit. Either it won't bring glory to his name, I'll consume it upon my own lust, or I haven't done exactly the way he told me to do a few things in my life. Maybe it's unforgiving spirit. But this man heard. He could not see, but somebody helped him, no doubt, to the pool of Siloam. And there he went, and he washed. The Bible says, since he did everything he knew to do in obedience, then God answered the prayer, the power and the pardon through obedience. Let's look at that simple obedience. It wasn't a lot. He just went. He was sent by the Lord, and he had to have a helper, no doubt. There were steps to get down there because the pool of Siloam is lower than the streets of Jerusalem, and then water flows downhill. So he had to have help. And God will never send you or me anywhere but while he will give us the ability to get there to whatever he told us to do. He will never give you charge to have anything in your life to give him glory and honor and praise but while he will give you the ability to do it. Now you have to sacrifice, absolutely. He was standing right before Jesus. Jesus reached down and spit on the clay, and he had the touch of God on his life. But at the same time, God uses obedience. He does for you, he does for me. And if we'll go where he says go, when he says go, as he says go, he'll give you confidence that that prayer will be answered. And if you don't have the confidence, it'll be because of one of those three reasons. So he went. And he washed. And then look what happens. He came back, and I was blind, but now I see. How come Jesus saw his condition? He was seeking to give glory to God. And as he was seeking to give God the glory, mom and dad wasn't going to get the glory. Sadducees, Pharisees wasn't going to get any glory. Only the Lord Jesus Christ will give glory to his Father. He said, my Father sent me, and I must do the will of my Father. So there is power and there is pardon through the commands of God. And sometimes he speaks to us, not audibly. He could speak to me audibly. He has people in the past, no doubt. But he speaks to me so clearly, I don't mess it up. I have never one time, best I remember, ever said, Lord, repeat that. Sometimes I didn't want him to repeat it because I already knew too good how it was to start with. I have questioned a few times, and I don't have time to go into all that, but sometimes I didn't want to, and I was looking for a way out. Sometimes he gives you hard things, like one time he told me to go and speak to the rainbow people over at Spring Creek. They come in there and trying to take over the place, and I hope none of you wasn't there. I didn't see you. And I tried my best to get out of that because the news media was carrying it. There's nudity and there's drugs, and all I wanted to do, my excuse was I didn't want to go because the news media will pick me up, and I just had got here to Fletcher, and they'll associate me with them. That's why I told God, but he didn't buy a bit of it. He knew the real reason I didn't want to go. I just didn't want to expose myself to that kind of filth. And, you know, several hundred people and just me, one little old boy. So I invited the church to go. He didn't tell me to do that either. He said, you go. So I said to the church, tomorrow we're going over there a certain time. And the only person that showed up was Darren. He went with me. And then I try to make excuses. I heard on the news that they've closed the road. You can't get in. Nobody can get in because there's more of them coming over the weekend. And I said, good Lord, now I can't get in. You know what he said to me? You know the back way, don't you? I did. My father-in-law used to own some land in the back trail, so there's no excuse. When God tells you to go somewhere, there will be no excuse. So I went, and yes, there was nudity and there was drugs. And they were, any attack of sacrifice, we carried book bags of Bibles on their back. And when I got there, everybody I offered a Bible to except one took it. And sometimes I would throw the book at them because the guy had was there with the snake wrapped around his neck. And I wasn't going to approach him. I just kindly tossed it to him. But God will send you places. And I told the person, not supposed to be anybody in charge, but I asked the person, it seemed like he was in charge, because they don't want to admit they're in charge. I like to speak to everybody. And he told everybody, sit down on the side of the hill in the pasture and let me speak to them and read the Word of God. Nobody got saved that day, but they heard the Word of God. God was just looking for a vessel to be obedient. I didn't want to, but when God tells you to do something, He will make the way. And if I had not went that day, could I have ever, I mean ever, in my prayer life said, do this for me, Lord, do this. You know what would have come in the back of my mind? Why should I? You wouldn't mind me. You wouldn't do what I told you to do. Could I have done it? Yes. Would you do it? I would have said no. How many times in your prayer life and mine have you faced that situation where desperately you needed God to answer the prayer? But somewhere along the line, you'd miss. I know God forgives, and I know you repent, but I'm telling you, it sets you back a lot of years when you're just not willing to do what God said do. But the man went. No excuses. Notice the power and the obedience that came because of the pardon that came because of his obedience. And lastly, let's look at verse 30. See, God promises some things to you and I. Now, he was blind, so he could not see. And so many times we're not physically blind, but we're spiritually blind to the things that God wants to do for us. Sometimes we're spiritually blind, maybe willfully, because we think we just pray any old prayer without doing anything, God's going to answer it. No. He already told us, first verse, I'll answer the prayers if it brings glory to God. If not, just waste your time. That's all it is, a waste of time. But now look at verse 30. Same chapter. Let's read verse 27. He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? We also be his disciples. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fella, we're talking about Jesus, a religious crab, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said to him, why herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes? He has opened my eyes because I went when he told me to go. He saw me in my need. I didn't see him. He saw me. He came to me. He was seeking me. And now I am completely whole. I can see and I know that this man done it for me. He gets the glory, Mama. They had nothing to do with it. The religious crowd had nothing to do with it. He found me in my blinded condition. So I'm giving him all the glory. And they kept reviling him and trying to get him to say something that he didn't understand who he was. But look at the next verse. The man answered and said to him, why herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he has opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. Another truth. See, God's opened his eyes. And once he opens his eyes, he knows some truths that you and I ought not to know. The only prayer God knows and will regard from a sinner is, Lord, forgive me. I've talked to people, and you have too. I pray every night. I pray. They tell me I pray for you. Well, good. That's admirable of you. But have you ever prayed the prayer for God to forgive you your sins? No. Well, God won't hear your prayers if you don't have forgiveness of your sins. How can you give him glory for that? So we've learned here in verse 31, we know that God heareth not sinners. Oh, but listen to this. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. We learn another thing, what we already knew, but we just have to face it. Who's God going to hear? Those people that worship him and do his will. The sinners can't get a prayer through to God except for their own selves, forgiveness of their sins, and then he would willingly receive them, then they could pray. So we've learned also that the reason God will hear and answer our prayers, because Jesus said, if you do it and my Father gets the glory, then anything you ask my name, that will I do. And now we've just learned the people God's going to hear are the people that worship him and do his will. That brings us back to the premise that our prayer life are conditional, and the only way you're going to have confidence in your prayer life and the only way you're going to have prayers answered is for you to be willing to do his will. You can't ask him to do a certain thing in your life or for someone else. He won't hear your prayer if you're not willing to do what he told you to do. What's his will? That we listen to him, we follow him, and do as this blind man do. The blind man did. You go where he says go, as he said go, and you wash, and you come back seeing. It's so simple. And yet, a lot of times, we think we can have confidence in our prayer life, and God will hear our prayers when we're not willing to do his will. Impossibility. Sometimes we think we can keep that thing in our heart, unforgiving spirit. Can't do it. He will not hear our prayers if we're not willing to forgive. And we make mistakes. He's not even willing to forgive us. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about we sin after we get saved. And when we sin, we ask him, and he said, I'm an advocate. You ask and I'll forgive you if you'll get forgiveness of your sins. The word of God is so simple and we sometimes make it so hard. It's not hard whatsoever. All we have to do is be willing to fall on our face as a blind man did and say, Lord, wash me. And he washes us not with the water from the pool of Siloam that came from the virgin fountain, but he washes us with his own shed blood. And that shed blood is still what forgives our sin. It even forgives the sin of disobedience. The sin that we're so sometimes apt not to do what he says to do. But God would forgive you that too. But the Bible says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. You can never say, God, you asked me to do that. I will not do it. Forgive me for not doing it. See, God has something in their life that when he calls us to do a job, there's no getting out of it. Oh, you can get out of it, but not be in his will. And we just learned that if you're not in his will, you don't get your prayers answered. So if you have a charge to do something in your life, and you know it's from him, and you're not willing to do it, then his will that you do it, you don't get your prayers answered. The only thing he wants us to do is just present ourselves for him and say, here I am, Lord. We need, in this late stage in apostasy and all the sin upon our nation and all the destruction and all the heresies and everything that's happening in America, and every time you hear a storm, it's the record, worst ever. Who sends storms? Who sends hurricanes? God's in control of everything, or he's not in control of anything. God's in control. And everything we hear from Houston, North Carolina, far, everything is the worst, the worst, the worst. Could it be? In large part because America wants their way and will not bow to his lordship. Could it be that when I pray for God, won't you just turn the hurricane back around another way? He could do that, I know. But could it be the reason he don't hear my prayers is because maybe he sent it to wake us up? I don't know all those answers. I just know one thing. It's hard to have confidence that God will hear your prayers about devastation and stuff when you know that we're so sin-sick and we haven't repented. Most of us probably, I don't say yes, most people won't repent. And we've already learned three aspects. There's more, but three. If God's going to answer your prayer, it's going to give him glory. Second thing, if God's going to answer your prayer, it's when you're obedient and you're willing to do anything he asks you to do, and it's the will of God. The third thing is we must do it and do it his way. And then we can have confidence in our prayer life. And we need to have that this day and time. A lot of people probably aren't praying, and surely we, God's people, will pray and seek his face. Not a popular message, but a hard message and a truthful message. Not one that I particularly was looking forward to preaching. But God says we need to pray, and this is the only way I'm going to hear you. And I want to know the truth, don't you? I want to know what prayers God hears and what prayers God won't hear. And I want to know what I have to do to get him to hear my prayers. So I must be willing to go his way, get my way completely out of it, and not willing to get any glory whatsoever. And if I have that within my heart, that I won't get glory for it, he won't hear. He won't do. Standing out, your heads are bowed. Brother Randy, you have a song on your heart. Whatever song God puts you. Altar is open. Has your prayer life? Let's not be asking that question. The Lord will ask you a question. Has your prayer life? Do you have confidence in the prayers you pray? If not, probably know why after this message. Sometimes we're not willing to do his will. Sometimes we don't care whether or not it brings him glory or not. We want it. We're going to ask for it. Ask, but it won't do any good. It's God's way and not my way. Prescribed way, the only way, and the perfect way. Be submissive to his lordship.